Well, for those of you who don't know me, welcome. Welcome to Overflow. My name is Chase Jackson. I used to go to Overflow for 6 years when I was a child, back when I was a wee seventh grader, because we didn't have sixth grade back then. Fun fact. But I've been coming here for a while, and then I finally went off to college, went to APU, Azusa Pacific University, and now I am getting the beautiful opportunity to come back and share some of the lessons that I have learned with you guys thanks to Trevor and Chad. So before I go into this message this morning, will you guys pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I pray that you just speak through me, God. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are not mine, that they're yours, and that you just are able to speak to these people, God, because I'm just so honored to be on this stage and so honored to be able to preach and speak on your behalf. And God, I pray that this just is not about me and not about anyone else but you, God. Please bless this Sunday and bless the message that I'm about to speak. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the series that we've been going through for the past 3 weeks, this is the fourth week, is called Dunamis. For the fourth time, can everyone say Dunamis with me? Dunamis. So dunamis means power in Greek. But this power is not just any power. It's a power that only the Holy Spirit possesses, only God possesses. And it is so powerful that we're talking about it. And oftentimes we think of power and we think of all these different things. But what we're talking about is specifically the Holy Spirit and encountering the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been going through using icons throughout this series to kind of postmark where we're at. So the first icon was that of the wind. In the first week, we talked about how the wind is comforting, yet can be powerful. It can be like a gentle breeze that soothes you, but it also can be like a tornado and shake things up and cause so much change in a community and in people's lives. The second week, we talked about water and how just like water is essential for our lives, the Holy Spirit is an essential factor in being a disciple of Jesus. It is so essential. And then the third week, we talked about the dove. And the dove was actually an analogy that was used as for the Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew, where it says the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. And we spoke about gifts and spiritual the fruits of the Spirit and things like that last week, and the ways that the Holy Spirit can empower us in such amazing ways and descends on us like a dove and gives us these amazing gifts, these heavenly gifts. And so this week, as you guys can tell and what Lexi and Luke talked about, it is dynamite. Now, you might be a little confused as to how that flow worked because we did some really nice things. We started with wind. We went to water. We went to doves. We were like beautiful doves. And now we're dynamite. Doesn't really fit, huh? But you will come to find out that it does fit in so many ways. And so the way I want to start off this sermon is by giving you a little example. And I want to talk about my phone. Some of you might be looking at your phones right now. That's not the move. You should probably put it away because we're looking at my phone, okay? And what I want to talk about right now is how much power is behind this little thing. Fun fact, 2014, there were officially 1 billion websites published on the internet. Can everyone say wow? Wow. 1 billion websites. That means exactly 1 billion different places that you can look for information, for knowledge, for games, whatever you want, but 1 billion websites. And that was 2014. Guys, it's 2018. Who knows what could happen in 4 years? A lot could have happened, but I don't know those stats. But I also want to point out a few more stats. So everything that I have listed on here that I'm going to go through happens every single second. Okay? So there are 7,519 tweets sent per second, 767 Instagram photos posted per second, 1,212 Tumblr posts. Wait, can I see a show of hands? Does anyone use Tumblr? Wow. Amazing. Maybe you can tell everyone what Tumblr is after this. There are 2,473 Skype calls made, 42,440 gigabytes of internet traffic. That's a lot.
Still a second.
A second. Thank you, Joey. And 68,236 YouTube videos viewed in a second. Wow. I don't know if you guys have ever even watched 68,236 YouTube videos in your whole life, but that happens on the internet every single second. Wow. Talk about power. Think about it. At your guys' fingertips, when outside of church, not right now, but at your fingertips, you guys have access to so much. Every single second you have access to doing all these amazing things, hearing these amazing things, reading the news, playing games, all this stuff is on the internet. But just like the way I've been starting off every sermon is, even though we're talking about the power of technology and how much there is, there's a power that is so much greater. For those of you who've been here for all 3 weeks, you know the answer to this. You know where I'm going. But the power of the Holy Spirit, this dunamis power that we've been talking about, is something that is magnificent, that is so much greater than even your smartphone. In all 42,440 gigabytes of internet traffic that happens every second. So I want to tell you guys another example, and I'm going to relate this one to dynamite a little bit, so if you can switch slides. So I'm going to talk about dynamite and kind of how I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to go there with you guys. So it was invented by Alfred Nobel in 1867. So you've heard of Nobel Prizes. Fun fact, Alfred Nobel, that's who it's named after. It's made of nitroglycerin. I don't know why I put that up there. I just thought nitroglycerin was a fun word to say, and it took me a while to learn how to say it. So I just practiced in front of you guys. It is highly explosive. It degrades over time if not used. And it was originally invented to destroy, like destroying rock. It was actually used originally for construction. It was used so that people could destroy rock, but use those materials, but also build where that rock was. And so I want to relate that to the Holy Spirit. Okay? I believe in the same way the Holy Spirit, not that the Holy Spirit will explode, but that just like how dynamite is very powerful and highly explosive, it can do amazing things in a second. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things, if not bigger things, in an instant. The Holy Spirit is highly explosive in the power that it uses because it is so powerful. Second, it degrades over time if not used. We talked about in week two, just like with the chocolate milk example, with the fire example, how if we don't stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we don't fan the flame of the Holy Spirit, like what Paul talks about, not to say the Holy Spirit will degrade, but we might maybe lose sight of the Holy Spirit. We might go on a different path. Not to say the Holy Spirit will go away, but our relationship might fade, just like a relationship with a friend in that aspect. And finally, it was originally invented to destroy, but for destroying rocks. You see, this dunamis power that we've been talking about, the Holy Spirit, it has such a beautiful purpose. And we've been talking about that over these past few weeks. The Holy Spirit does amazing things, will continue to do amazing things, and can do amazing things through you. But a lot of people see the Holy Spirit as just something. And people see the power of the Holy Spirit as a power instead of something that's so much greater. They see it as something that, oh, that person can heal. They're awesome. They must be very holy. If you've ever seen a healing or anything miraculous happen, hint, hint, it's not that person. It's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's purpose in that aspect is not what we sometimes think it is. Sometimes people see the Holy Spirit as something that we can just use, and we can use this dunamis power, but in reality, it has a purpose so much greater than what a lot of people see it as. And so I want to explore one of those purposes. So if you guys will turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 8, 9 through 24. So basically, we've been going through the book of Acts a little bit, but what's going on right here in the book of Acts is it is a spiritual movement that, because Jesus has already ascended into heaven and he's gone, the Holy Spirit is totally guiding this movement right here. People are praying to God, and the Spirit is just moving through this entire process. and guiding them of where to go and telling them what to do and doing some amazing things through these disciples of Jesus after Jesus is gone. But what's going on is they're experiencing a lot of persecution right now. And so unfortunately, the disciples all had to spread out and they go to these places called Judea and Samaria and they're spreading out to preach the good news or the gospel or the words of Jesus. And so I'm going to start in verse 9. So this is Acts 8, verse 9. That's where I'm starting. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city. Now, this city is Samaria, just so you know, and amazed all the people of Samaria. Oh, there we go. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So I'm going to stop right there, and I want you guys to look up. So I just want to point out what's going on right here and put it into perspective a little bit. So there's a man named Simon, and they label him as a sorcerer in the Bible. Now, sorcery back in the day, we don't know exactly what it is. He could have been a magician that's performing like cool things, and he's got a sideshow, and people label it as sorcery. Or he could be using maybe some dark spirit, some dark power that, you know, might be able to do some crazy things, but it's not of God. Okay, so sorcery is something that was seen more as a sideshow. And he was performing this, something that was more giving him glory. It says that the people saw him in verse 10, and they gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." And it says also in verse 9 that he boasted that he was someone great. You see, Simon was a man who was after whatever he wanted. He was doing this sorcery not for God, not even for anything except for himself. He's the one who's boasting, "Look at me. I performed all this stuff, and I'm so great." And he was stoked about it. But the big thing, big key that I want you guys to think about and remember is verse 13. Verse 13, it says, Simon himself believed and was baptized. So Simon saw the work that this disciple Philip was doing. He preached the word of Jesus and talked about the kingdom of God and all this stuff. And Philip believed and was baptized. Philip trusted, wow, I saw this power. I saw these miracles that Philip was performing. Sorry, Simon saw this. And he believed. He couldn't deny that this is real. In fact, that the power that he had, he almost denied that and admitted that he believed in God's power. And he saw this and he was like, wow, I got to be baptized. I got to get me some of this. Okay, so moving on, we're going to pick back up in verse 14. And it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought of your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So that was a lot of words, and so I'm going to go through that again. But basically what happened was these disciples, Peter and John, went to Samaria, spoke, and baptized a lot of people in the name of the Holy Spirit and laid hands on them so they could encounter the Holy Spirit. Peter called out this man Simon, and then Simon repented. So that's bottom line what happened. But the way God was so intentional throughout the process is significant. And it says something so much greater than we need to repent. You see,
these people were baptized and they believed. I know, I don't know how many of you have been baptized, but some of you guys might believe in God and believe in Jesus. And that's amazing. Simon believed in Jesus as well. All these people in Samaria believed in Jesus. And that's great. And that's exactly what Philip was trying to do. But there's something significant about John and Peter needing to go themselves and bring the Holy Spirit. You see, for them, believing and even being baptized in the name of Jesus wasn't enough to receive this Holy Spirit. And it says that when Simon was there, he offered them money. And he's like, please just take my money, but I want that power. And in that moment, I immediately thought of myself when I read this. Sometimes we go to Jesus, we go to the church saying, all right, what do I need to do to encounter God? What do I need to do to live for the Holy Spirit? Is it like give all my money? Dude, I'll donate money. That's fine. I'll just do what it takes. I'll do whatever I need to do. And that's cool. Simon, because he was a trickster, because he was all about powers and tricks, just like, I don't know if you guys have heard, magicians buy their tricks from other people sometimes. You sell tricks, you buy them online, it's fun. He was probably like, oh, Jesus, like these people, they got tricks. They got tricks that I can't even perform that I'm amazed with. I'll throw some money at them. Maybe they'll give me their tricks. It'll be good. I'll have a new act for my show. For my show. You see, John approached that situation saying, what can I do so that I can have this power? So that I can further my kingdom. So that I can have a great show and people can continue to look at me and say, wow, that dude's powerful. Wow, that dude can do so much. He's so great. He's so great. But what Simon didn't understand and what Peter actually called out in him and said, I don't think you get it, man. You were baptized. You were preached to. You accepted the Lord. You said the prayer. I know some of us have done that as well. You see a miracle. You maybe go to houseboats. You go to Hume Lake. You go to church one Sunday and you see something amazing, you hear something amazing, and you're like, I need to accept Jesus, just like Simon did. But what Peter's trying to tell Simon in this passage is, I think you've missed the point. And what I want to point out to you guys is, I feel like some of us have missed the point. This whole time we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and these powers and these amazing things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives and will continue to do in our lives. But sometimes we miss the point. Sometimes it's less about how can I get that power and more of how can I get Jesus? And sometimes we forget about that. And that's why I wanted to come up here and speak this Sunday, is to bring you guys back and say, this power is great, but this power is for spreading the word of the Lord. This power isn't for you. I mean, it is for you. But it's meant to be shared in the name of God. And that's what Peter was pointing out to Simon. He said, make your money perish. And then he finally concluded in verse 22 and said, repent of this wickedness. And what was so beautiful and what is so amazing and what is so awesome is that in verse 24, he repented. Simon said, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing that you have said may happen to me. And this is literally our lives. And I want that to sink in. I want you guys to think about that for one moment. But some of us in this room, including me, might be just like Simon. We've been listening to this Holy Spirit talk, thinking, oh my gosh, if I could get fruits of the Spirit, maybe people will like me. Oh my gosh, if I could have the spiritual gift of preaching over people, maybe people will think I'm holy. And what I want to talk about this week is, even I sometimes have totally missed the point. And so, sorry, a little overwhelming for me. So, two big points that I want you to take away, two big things from this passage that I want you to remember is that one, The Holy Spirit moves. And the Holy Spirit does amazing things through Philip. He was performing miracles that even a man named John, who had seen miracles, who had seen magic, who had done sorcery, saw those miracles and said, wow, I need me some of that. It said he was baptized and he believed. And the Holy Spirit is that powerful that even people that don't want to see it can't help but see it and want it. But also, the Holy Spirit is powerful internally. And don't discredit that. You see, he can do these miracles out here, but the work he did inside of Simon, shaping Simon, molding Simon, and turning Simon into something totally different and having him want to do his sorcery and do use the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit for the Lord, that's some power as well. Taking a man that was so broken and honestly doing something that is not of God and is not thinking about God and molding his heart into something so beautiful, that is power as well. But second, the second main point, if you guys are going to walk away with anything today at all, is that none of this is possible without Jesus. I'm going to say that again because I just got the chills, and I think I need to say it again. None of this is possible without Jesus. Jesus is worth pursuing. And Jesus is worth having a relationship with. And Simon demonstrates that. And Philip demonstrates that. And these disciples demonstrate that. And we need to not think about the book of Acts and these people as people that were, oh, they're Old Testament. They saw Jesus. This is them. This is their life. My life is different. Because the same God that existed back then is still here today. And so I want to tell you guys for the third time already, we need to go back to Jesus. And so a big thing that I want to talk about today is practical ways that we might be able to do that. And things that are talked about in the Bible of things that we can do and things that even Peter talked about in this passage of things that we can do to actively engage with Jesus, but with that, have the Spirit come into our lives as well through it. Because again, without Jesus, the Spirit isn't going to move. Without Jesus, this Holy Spirit that we've been talking about for 3 weeks already and should talk about for the rest of our lives is not going to empower us with these gifts that we've been talking about. You see, without Jesus, it's not possible. And so, if you could switch slides. I tried my best to harness things that I thought of and things that I prayed about. These aren't the only things where the Holy Spirit works and how you can get closer to Jesus, but I just came up with a short list of things that might be able to help you and things that might bring you closer to Christ and have you just focus on Christ more. And with that, the Holy Spirit moves through these things often. And first one is to repent. Peter talked about that in this passage, but it's something that a lot of people don't truly understand what it means. You see, for me, when I was your age, probably actually throughout Overflow, I just assumed that repent meant being sorry. It's like, oh, I messed up. I just repented. I'm good. It's chill. I'd often sit there and just be like, Jesus forgives me, but like, hey, sorry, God. My bad. Shouldn't have done that. Sorry. But I'd do it again. I'd do it again and again and again and again and again. And what I want you guys to realize is repentance is so crucial to letting the Holy Spirit come in, to taking on this Christ, the life of a Christ follower, is not just saying sorry, but turning away from it and actively walking in another direction. That's what repentance is. It's not just my bad, it's, oh my gosh, I need to walk away from this. It's heavy. Repentance is something serious and something big, and I feel like it's something that's often lost in translation because at church, we say, repent from your sins, but half the time when I was in Overflow, I'd say, I don't know what repentance is, but I'll sit here and say, yeah, praise Jesus. So I just wanted to let you guys know, repent from your sins. And I just wanted you to know what repentance meant as well. But also, totally surrendering. Totally surrendering your life to God. Totally surrendering your life to Christ. That's not easy. I feel like people say that and use this term so loosely. And people say, all right, I'm totally surrendering my life to God, but I want to keep track of this unhealthy relationship because it makes me feel good. I'm going to totally surrender my life to God, but these things over here, I don't think God wants a part of. And so, like, I don't need to do that. No, it's totally surrendering your life to God. That doesn't mean give up everything. But that means, just like we talked about last week, using your skills, using your talents, using your gifts, using these fruits of the Spirit that we talked about from Galatians for God, to share with others, to empower and impact others so that they can see God through you, so they can see Christ through you. Third, committing to God's call. Like I spoke about last week, every single one of you has a unique calling on your life. Everyone has different gifts. Everyone has different skills, different things that make them them. We're all different people. God has given us all different callings as well. Be it significantly different calling or something that's very similar to someone else's. Be it your calling is to be a garbage man or a sanitation engineer is what I like to call. And you're going to talk to people and smile at people and show them Christ through the way you grab their trash, or if you're going to be a pastor. But committing to what God has for you. And it's not easy, guys. Fun fact, for some of you who are going through trying to seek out what God's calling is for you, it's not easy and it's never easy. Every single one of us struggle with it every day, what God wants from us. But lastly, going with the Spirit. Now that, it's kind of a cop-out as the last one because almost all of these are going with the Spirit. What we've been talking about throughout this entire series is the Holy Spirit is here and the Holy Spirit is present in our lives all the time. We just need to see the Holy Spirit. We just need to seek the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit so that we can just have eyes to see how the Spirit is moving. And so the sooner we go with that Spirit is the sooner that we commit to God's call and we totally surrender and we repent, because that Spirit... There's a cockroach. Changes you. Sorry, there's a cockroach I just found out. I've seen a lot of people laughing and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Okay, now it makes sense. That is funny. I really want to step on it. Maybe it'll come over here. But I want to tell... I want to tell a personal story of how this happened in my life. I did not step on the cockroach, guys. Calm down. So, I have mentioned before, I went to Overflow for 6 years. I'm old. I talked about that in the first sermon, but I'm pretty old. I've been to Overflow for a while. But what happened was I actually didn't come here for God for most of my Overflow career. You see, I actually got brought to Overflow, and people who were there at the beginning, I know Erica Merrihew can vouch for this. I went to Overflow because I had a crush on a girl that went to Overflow. I know some of you guys and some of you girls maybe still coming to Overflow because you might have a crush on someone that you might be sitting right next to right now. I don't know. I'm not trying to call anyone out, but that could be a thing. Hey, the Spirit moves in amazing ways. The Spirit may have brought you through a girl that you have a crush on, or a boy. But anyways, I continued to go to Overflow for every reason but God. First I went for a girl, then the girl left, and you know, we had a middle school relationship and it didn't work out, and it was, never worked out. But I stayed for my boys. She had a small group, and I had some guys that I was tight with, and they were so cool. But I never was here for any reason besides, it's social. It's where my friends were. It was fun. Okay, we do have a cockroach. It went in the room because it wants to be respectful. What a guy. But I never came to Overflow for the right reasons. Even going into high school, I said, well, I'm a leader. I've been here for a while. Chad said some nice things to me. I think I should stay. And so even when I wasn't here for my friends, I stepped up and led, but not because God empowered me to, not because I did all these things I was called to. I did it because I felt like I had to. And I did it for me. See, I loved it when Chad said, oh, dude, Chase, you're such a good leader. Oh, you should do this. Oh, you're awesome. You're this, you're that. But it was all for me. And it literally wasn't until I was a junior in high school after coming to Overflow, what is that, 4 years already, four plus some change, that I finally realized that, oh, I'm not coming here for God at all. 4 years. If you guys were to put a label on the youth group kid, the kid that just is always going to youth group and they're like the cool guy of small group, which like, they're like, oh yeah, I love Jesus and I worship with my hands up and everything. It's like, that was me. But I wasn't even there for God. Like, let that sink in. Like, I was the youth group kid, but it wasn't until my junior year that I was there for God. Like, whoa. That's crazy. You know, you'd think everyone who goes to church is there because they have a relationship with God and they're great and everyone on student leadership and everyone this and everyone that's that. It's like everyone's holy. But I went for 4 years without knowing God. And then finally, it wasn't until, you know, my friends were gone and we officially had a student leadership team. And so I wasn't like officially a leader anymore because I wasn't an official leader because I played soccer so much that I finally was like, you know what? Maybe I should start investing. Maybe this God thing is something worth checking out. And so you know what? I started diving deeper into this. And I started pursuing actually Jesus and reading my Bible and being in tears at what God has done for me and what Jesus did for me. And I started feeling so differently. You see, I went selfishly for years, but I decided my junior year that I was truly going to repent, not just from all these bad things that I've done, but from just being selfish. I went to church and I was at church selfishly, which like for some of you doesn't make sense. Like I'm going to church for God, but I went to church selfishly and I had to repent from that and turn from that. You see, I totally surrendered my life to God at that phase of my life. Okay, I'm going to keep talking, and James has got this. Wait, actually, can we give James a round of applause? He just killed a cockroach. Okay, now I can speak. We're good. But I had to totally surrender my life to God, saying, just like I did in the first sermon, God, I can't play soccer. I only have you. So I'm just going to give everything to you. God, I don't have friends here anymore, so I'm just going to come for you. My Wednesday nights, my Sundays are not for friends. They're not to get like affirmations. They're not for this. They're not for that. God, I had to say, God, I'm surrendering my free time, my schedule, my life to you after being a church kid. Okay, I committed to God's call. Actually, I'm still working on that. And I think that's something we're all working on. But it's a process. I'm working on trying to commit to what God has for me in my life. That's part of the reason why I'm here, guys. And this isn't something, this committing to God's call is not something that I do and I snap my fingers and it's like, all right, cool, I'm committed to God's call. You kind of smile and you're like, let's go. It doesn't work like that. It's a lifelong process. And going with the Holy Spirit as well. This is every decision you make, every move you make, every step I take. But basically, everything you do involves that Holy Spirit. And this is something that we're still working through. I'm still repenting. I'm still totally surrendering. But this is a story from high school of the first time I legitimately took God seriously. And so for anything today, I just want you guys to know, and if you're going to take anything away, is that you need Jesus. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about spiritual gifts and fruits of the Spirit and how the Spirit does all these things for us. And the Spirit is amazing and can give you all this energy and strength and joy, but it's for God. It's for sharing the news of Jesus. And so, to wrap up, I want you guys just to know that the Holy Spirit's power is so great and so powerful. And that's why we did Dynamite today, is just to know how powerful it is, that it can perform external miracles, but also internal miracles inside of people. It changes people. Okay, but also something that I want to know is those external miracles and internal miracles, these things that you see, these healings, this and that and this that you see, and you maybe wonder, why isn't that happening in my life? I want to let you guys know that we need to be pursuing Jesus before the Holy Spirit is going to give us these gifts, give us these things. Of course, you do have spiritual gifts and things like that. But in order to pursue the Spirit, you need to pursue Jesus. You need to actively seek out a relationship with Jesus. And so what I want to challenge you guys with going into this next week is, what is it going to take for you to totally pursue Jesus? What is it going to take for you to repent and truly turn away? What is it going to take for you to totally surrender? What is it going to take for you to commit to God's call and go with the Spirit? It took me 4 years of overflow, and I'm still not perfect at it. I don't think anyone's perfect at it. But it took me 4 years of being in a church group thinking I was great to realize it's not me that's great, it's God. And God has been using me. And so I'm going to end this sermon a little bit differently this week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite CJ up on stage, and she's going to do some little strumming. But instead of me doing a closing prayer up here, I just want 2 minutes of silence. And I know you guys might be sitting next to your friends and you might be uncomfortable with silence, but please, out of respect for everyone in the room, whether you want to pray, whether you want to stare at a wall, think, I would just love 2 minutes of silence so you guys can think about, where do I need to repent? Where do I need to totally surrender to God? How do I commit my life to God's calling? And how can I go with the Spirit? So thank you guys.